honor is even more expected and has to be exemplified in those that God has put into positions of authority or leadership. That's so very important. There must be honor, must be displayed in every level of authority. Those who hold offices as pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, they're actually, it's expected of them in a greater degree to not only show it, but display it, amen, and to enforce it, to make sure that honor is upheld. All right, so we're going to be looking at that and looking at two kings, King David and King Uzziah, who God placed in great positions of authority, but they misused that authority wrongly and the consequences that happened because of that. That's something we want to make sure that we safeguard ourselves from. Just because you are in a position of authority does not make you above the law or exempt from being accountable to God. We all are accountable to God in regards to violating spiritual laws or protocol of God's government. You are still accountable to God for your actions. You must respect God-ordained government, and you must respect God's people. And that's so very important. To whom much is given, much is required. In other words, when God blesses you and anoints you for service, it's a greater level of you being an example, of you showing forth honor towards those that God has placed you over. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." In other words, you didn't know what you was doing, but you did something wrong. You're going to be beaten with a few stripes. But to whomever much is given, of him shall much be required. And of whom God has committed much, of him they will ask the more. In other words, more is going to be expected. There is a greater level of accountability and responsibility towards leadership. You are supposed to set an example, to set and to be an example when you're in leadership. The Amplified Bible of Luke 12 and 48 says, "But he who did not know and did things worthy of a beating shall be beaten with a few stripes. For anyone who of whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And of him to whom much men entrust, they will require and demand the more." Honor is just as important and even more important for those who are in a position of authority and leadership. As I stated, we're going to be looking at two kings that God had given positions and how they used their positions wrongly and their actions. One of the things about, you know, God will forgive sin, but there are always consequences for your actions, you know. And that's why one of the scriptures I live by is Romans 8 and 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I always say, Lord, I thank you that you lead me and guide me in the way that you want me to go. Lead me out of the way of temptation. Lead me out of the way of sin, but lead me in the path of righteousness, you know. And that's so very important. And when you pray that and ask God and expect for God's leading, even when a trap is set for you, God will speak to your heart, or he'll send somebody in your path to direct you in the right way, you know, because we want to be examples for God and examples for the kingdom of God. And that's so very important. I'm trying to decide whether I want to. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel and chapter 11. I'm going to start out because we definitely need to see this from the Word of God. At 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. It says in 2 Samuel 11 and 1, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, and his servant with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and begat Rahab. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. So David sent his army out to battle, but David stayed in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the house of his of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and she was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is it not Bathsheba, the daughter of Ephraim, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, and she purified herself from her uncleanliness, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David that she was with child. Now here, David's army is out fighting a battle. He's a king. He stayed in the palace. And I've heard many sides of this story. I mean, he's the king, you know, whether or not he should have been on the battlefield or not, that's not for me to decide, you know, but at the same time, he looked upon another man's wife, and temptation set in. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, scripture, and I think it's in Proverbs, a man can't just continue to put fire to his bosom and not be burned. And that's why one of the scripture I read earlier, how it's so important. Lord, you know, lead me not into the way of temptation, you know, but let's move on with the story. And then it says here, verse 6, and David sent to Joab and said, sent Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. So her husband now is coming to see David. And when Uriah had come unto David, demanding of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants and of the Lord, of his Lord, and went not to his house. And when they had told David, Uriah went not unto his house. David said unto Uriah, come, thou not for thy journey. Why did I not, go down to thine house? And this is what Uriah said, verse 11. And Uriah said unto David, the ark of Israel and Judah abides in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I not go into my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest and as my soul liveth, I will not do such a thing. In other words, while all of the men that I'm assigned to, they're out fighting, and I'm here with my wife having a good time. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, you know, they out fighting. I'm not going to, you know, be somewhere and when my heart is really to be. Uriah was honoring David because he was sent out to battle. And he said, you know, no, I'm not going to do it because I know I've been given an assignment. That's why it's so important to stick with your assignment, to stay with what God called you to do, you know, and be what God called you to be. Even though David did call him home, but David called him home for a particular purpose so that he could claim the child, so that he could go into have sex with his wife. And you know, 9 months later, when she conceived and gave birth, you know, he said, well, I know I was home at that time, so that's my child. You know, so here, and you see, oh, Lord, this is a situation where honor has to be upheld. And one of the things I've learned from this story and similar things is that, you know, even when a man of God messes up, we're still supposed to submit, just like you ride it, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'm going to take care of a situation. If you're a man of God, or if somebody who's in authority or leadership gets out of hand, God's going to take care of it. And in several instances in the Bible, we see where God handled those situations. You know, and that's where government comes in. That's where government comes in. Let me share a few things from the book here. David allowed himself to fall into temptation that led him into sin. Proverbs 5:7-9 Amplified Bible says, talks about avoiding the scenes of temptation. Verse 7 says, "Now therefore, my son, listen to me and depart from the words of thy and depart not from the words of my mouth. Let your way in life be so far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house." Avoid the very sense of temptation. That's the Amplified Bible. "Lest you give your honor to another and your years to those without mercy." In other words, it says if you do, you're actually giving your honor away. When you do something and you allow temptation to sway you away from the plan and the purpose of God for your life, and temptation takes you in that degree, you're giving your honor away. You know, a man's honor should be something that he holds in highest esteem. You know, integrity, uprightness, trustworthiness, loyalty. Uriah was loyal. He was loyal to the death. He was loyal to David. You know, but what I want to point out is, you know, temptation has no, it doesn't discriminate whether or not you're in leadership or you're a servant or any walk of life. Temptation will come, but it's to know that, you know, that Satan is out there, temptation is out there, and we need to be, and when you walk in honor, you're going to be above it. You're going to be above, because you're going to always take the high road, never take the low road. Always take the high road. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me move on. To try to cover up his sin, David sent for her husband Uriah to organize a rendezvous with Bathsheba so that he could claim the child. When Uriah's loyalty kept him from following David's plan, David had him killed. You can go ahead and read. I mean, everybody's familiar with the story. He shed blood, or innocent blood, and dishonored a neighbor and took his wife for his wife. As the story goes, like I said, David, when Uriah refused to go into his house with his wife, David told Joab to bring him. He gave the letter to Uriah to give to his commander. And the letter said to put this man in the heat of the battle, to where the best that we're fighting against, he going to be up against them, you know, and then withdraw some people. So he ain't going to have a chance. And sure enough, Joab did what David had in the letter, and Uriah gets killed. And it talks about how Bathsheba finds out about it. She mourns for a while, and then David sends for her. And she moves in with David, and David takes her as a wife, and the child is born. All right. But now let's see what God had to say about that. Chapter 12. "And the Lord sent Naaman and said unto David, and it came upon him and said unto him, there were two men in a city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat and his own meat and drank his own cup and lay in his own bosom and unto him as a daughter. And a traveler came unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his flock and of his own herd to dress and to a wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled." So basically what had happened was two men, one of them was rich, one of them was poor, and the rich man took the one lamb from the poor man, you know, And when David heard that story, David got infuriated. He was just all angered. And the Bible says here in verse 5, it says, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man and said to Nathan, 'As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.'" And verse 7, "And Naaman said unto David, 'Thou art the man. Thou hast the Lord said to Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hands of Saul. I have given thee thy master's house and thy master's wives and unto the bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if thou had been, if that hadn't been enough and had been too little, I would have moreover have given thee much such as basically more." So the scripture that comes to mind is the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. God, you know, he's omnipotent and omnipresent. God saw what David did, spoke it to the heart of Naaman, who was the prophet. Naaman came and said that, you know, you the man that did this thing. You know, and basically it goes down on and says how now that God's anger was kindled against David for his, you know, his act of sin, his act of disobedience, his act of dishonor. Verse 10, it says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house." In other words, there's going to be bloodshed. There's going to be a curse upon your house. "So the sword will not depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun." And actually that happened with his son Absalom. If you read the stories, Absalom, which was David's son, was advised by one of his advisors to go into David's wives or his concubines, you know, and disgrace his father. But what I want to get into, and before we get into the second king, was the consequences. The Lord, through Nathan the prophet, told David that the son that Bathsheba would bear for you would die. You know, in other words, the consequences of that is the son that you would love, I'm going to take him from you, because this was done deceitfully. This was done in dishonor. You know, the point I want to make out is how important it is not to walk in dishonor. You know, not to let those, and you see, a lot of these stories in the Bible were written, the Bible says, for our example, so that we can see that, you know, that God takes these matters seriously, a matter of honor, someone in authority, and they use their authority wrong and use the power that God has blessed them with. And I mean, here is a man who had everything, could have anything, but now he's taken from a loyal servant of his who would fight to the death for David, you know. And because he did this thing, David actually, his family from then on, the it talks about a generational curse was actually put upon David and from that time forward and his family. Now, here comes the penalties for David operating in the spirit of disobedience. "Thus said the Lord, behold, I will rise up against thee out of thine own house." Well, we just read that, and I'm not going to go into that, because the one thing I want to point out here is one of the penalties of David's dishonor towards his servant Uriah was that his son with Bathsheba would die, and that did happen. As a result, the penalty of dishonor was reaped in David's family for generations. Dishonor sowed in any place brings generational upheaval. Dishonor sowed in any place, or in any time, in any place, it'll bring generational upheaval to your family, Because the Bible talks about a curse falling upon you, not just to your generation, but to the all the way up to the third generation because of the sin or the transgression that was done. Amen. All right. The thing David loved died. His son with Bathsheba. Sometimes the penalty of dishonor is something, well, something that's very valuable will be taken away from you. And we see that what happened in David's life. Okay, we're going to move on now to another story of Uriah. Uriah was a king also appointed and anointed by God. When God blesses you and God equips you to do a particular, to fulfill a particular office, whether it's a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, teacher, ministry of helps, or any type of function, whoever God places in any type of position to work for him, God will anoint you for that particular position so that you can have an unction to function and to fulfill that call upon your life. And sometimes you'll feel timid about it because you say, Lord, I can't see myself doing this. But it's not you doing it, it's God using you. The key that you have to do is learn how to yield. As you yield to God and recognize it's really not you, but it's God using you. You know, I'm just a vessel. You know, he's the potter, I'm the clay. You know, Lord, speak through these lips of clay. You know, Lord, use me to be a blessing in whatever capacity, you know, because I know you're going to equip me. I'm going to share this and we're going to move on. When I first received this assignment from the apostle some 5-6 years ago to being an instructor, that first year and a half, I struggled with the fact that, Lord, I don't even think I feel worthy to be in this position. You know, just, you know, I just, Lord, I don't know if I can do this because it just, you know, it was so overwhelming and not just the students in the class, but over the internet. And I'm saying, you know, Lord, but one of the things I've learned, and I learned this years ago, whenever your man of God gives you an assignment that's been given him by God, everything you need in order to fulfill that assignment is going to, as you walk in it humbly, not with arrogance, not with pride, but just walk in it humbly and say, Lord, just use me. You know, one of the things I pray, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face because in my own ability, I don't know if I have enough in me to do it, but it's not about me, but it's about me fulfilling the will of God for my life. And when you begin to do that, then you recognize one of the things Apostle would always say, I feel my Cheerios kick in. I stepped into the boot and now I got my Superman shirt on. Why? Because it's not you anymore, but it's as you allow. One of the things Apostle says, your inabilities, even though they're there, but God will take your inabilities and put his abilities on top of it. And so when people see you, they really seeing God operate through you. Okay, so with all that in mind, Uriah was a king. And I want to do the same thing with this particular. Let's go now to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, because I want you to see both of these from your Bible, because these are two men that were used by God, but they took their authority and they walked in dishonor because they didn't stay in they wasn't what they needed to be, didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they used their authority and stepped across a boundary that God didn't allow them or didn't want them to do. Okay, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uriah, who was 16 years old, and had him king in the room of his father Isaiah. He built Edrom and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uriah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother also was Jecola of Jerusalem. And look verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of God, according to all that his father Isaiah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, he started his reign at the age of 16. And for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of go through some of the things that God used him to do. You know, Uriah was mightily used of God. He was a king. And as I stated earlier, whenever God calls you into an assignment, he's going to equip you and give you everything you need. But the key is staying in your area of anointing. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your steps. Make sure that every step you take is directed by God and not directed by your own good idea. There's a good idea and there's a God idea. You want to make sure that whatever you do, it's not my idea, but it's God's idea. You know, in other words, God has spoken to your heart. And when you have a man of God, and I don't understand why a lot of young ministers, a lot of people who are aspiring for the ministry, when they'll go to their pastor or the apostle and they'll say, I think God wants me to start a church or call him into ministry and ask him to give them direction and get his blessing on which direction that they're thinking they need to go in, but asking him I need counsel in this area. They'll just get up and go. And say, well, once you say, well, God called me and God told me it's time to leave, my season is up or my time is up. And then the apostle sometime will tell him, I don't have anything. That to me is enough to let me know I need to go sit my tail back down and just wait on God. You know, if the apostle tells you that I don't have nothing, in other words, you know, I'm not saying that you're not called. I'm not saying that God's not going to use you. But right now, I'm not sensing nothing. You know, but for somebody to get up and leave and go and do something, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't, you know, because that's I call that a misstep. That's you know, you and one thing I heard Dr. Forbes says, you know, God don't have a problem with you. You know, he don't want you to go by yourself, you know, because when you make a misstep, you stepping outside the will of God. And you're not getting the direction that you need in order to make sure that you're following God's plan for your life. Okay, let's move on. Okay, I said that Uriah, being a king, he had many accomplishments. God used him mightily in the area of a king. It is a dangerous thing to walk in an office that God has not called you to do, and walk outside of God's ordained order for you. That's dishonor. Even Aaron's sons, Aaron was a high priest, and both of his sons were destined to be high priests and to offer up sacrifices as Aaron did. But it says in the Bible with Aaron's sons that they went out and they decided to offer up strange fire before God, and they went into the temple to offer up incense. And the Lord struck them down dead because it was not their time. It was not their season. Even though they were in the lineage for the priesthood, they stepped out of season, and they went before. They didn't wait on timing. Timing is so very critical. They didn't wait on timing. And because of that, it says in Leviticus 10:1-3, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and incense upon it and offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord as he had not commanded them. Okay. And they went and there came forth fire from the Lord and killed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses and Aaron said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I and my will, not thine own will be acknowledged as hallowed. But by those who come near me, and before all the people, I will be honored. And Aaron said nothing. He's nothing he could say. You know, God said, I and my own will be acknowledged and hallowed. Hallowed means to be worshiped. You know, no graven images before me. You know, in other words, only do what I tell you to do. Only step where I tell you to step. That's critical. You know, it cost, you know, Aaron's two sons their lives. Okay, now let's get back to Uzziah. Uzziah began as a young man, a godly king, compatible with the office of a president of the United States, because he was a king over a country, okay? He engaged the Philistines while he was in office in war. He took strongholds. He built cities around them. He also established skillful war weaponry and military strategies because he was the king. God had anointed him and equipped him to do all of these things. You know, he enhanced the homeland security for his country. You know, he built towers, he dug wells, you know, because he had a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle, and so he dug many wells out in the desert. He developed an impressive army and prepared them with the necessary weaponry, even sanctioned certain weapons and implementation, and his name spread abroad. In other words, he became great. Getting back to what I was saying, God called you to do something. He's going to equip you. He's going to give you all the tools you need to do it. Okay? But there was a downfall that happened. But before I say that, let me say this. Whenever there's a genuine call of God and or a vision from God, there will always be an anointing and a provision to accomplish and fulfill that assignment, you know, which he displayed, you know. God's hand was upon his life, you know. But it came to pass that, you know, because he was so anointed, you know, he decided now to step out into the priesthood. He decided that he wanted to go into the temple and offer up sacrifices to the Lord. Now, he's a king, but now he's saying, I want to, you know, I've been called to be a teacher, but now I think I'm going to step in the prophet's office. You know, you just appointing yourself. You went, but you didn't. You're not being sent by God. You hadn't been commissioned by someone in authority to sanction or to bless you in that particular position. You just one day say, look, I know enough. I've been around. It's time for me to move up. You never want to promote yourself. Never promote yourself. You know, what the Bible say? The Bible says what? Promotion comes from the Lord. You know, not you. You know, and you know, there's too many people doing that. You know, and it's, you know, men have lived and died knowing they have a call on their lives, but have never fulfilled the first phase of their ministry of what God had called them to do because they launched out without being qualified, without being commissioned, without being anointed of God to walk in that assignment. And I mean, you know, just because you got an anointing and you know God's called you to ministry, that don't mean you're supposed to start a church. Not unless God places upon you and then also the pastor or the apostle that you're sitting under also confirms it. You know, Paul went about and he established churches, but he would appoint people, you know, like Silas or Barnabas or Titus, you know, over certain areas of ministry to oversee a church or a group of believers, you know, and that's the way it should be. And that's the way God ordained you to be. And that's why government is so important, so that people won't get out of order. Amen. Okay. Uriah's great fall of disorder. In his latter years, he was very strong. Uriah crossed the boundaries lines of kings and tried to step into another office that he was not ordained for, the office of the priesthood. He made a dangerous assumption that because the hand of the Lord was with him to date, he could stand in the priest's office without reproach. It is a dangerous thing to walk out of the office God called you into something God did not call you into. Let me go, because for the sake of time, we can become so successful in our calling that we presume to take another assignment that God had never intended. But when he was strong and his heart was lifted up, that word lifted up is synonymous with pride. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to the destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple and the Lord and to offer burnt offerings to the Lord and incense. It says here in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Isaiah the prophet went after him, and 80 priests of the Lord that were vigilant men. In other words, they run. He's in the temple, and they're trying to catch up with him. Verse 18, and they withstood Uriah the king, and he said unto them, it's apprehended not of thee. In other words, this is not what you're supposed to be doing, Uriah, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. But the priests and the sons of Aaron, in other words, it's reserved for the priesthood. You are not a priest, but a king. Stay in your area of anointing that is consecrated, you know, and this is a consecrated office and is dedicated only to the priesthood. So Uriah goes in, and as he goes in, he's stricken with leprosy on his forehead. If you read the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll see where leprosy begins to come on, and the high priest and his servants see it, and they pull him out, and then he recognizes it, and he wants to run out. Now it's too late. Now you done already the penalty of your transgression has already set in. You know, you done already purpose in your heart, this is what I want to do, and because of that, the Bible says that he died a leper. You know, he went from house to house. He lost his kingship, and his son took over his throne. You know, but because of his disobedience, he dishonored his kingship, the throne that God had given, the position that God had given, stepped into another office that he wasn't ordained for, wasn't anointed for, and suffered the consequences. You know, you want to stay with my last 35, 36 seconds. You want to stay in your area of anointing, you know, and let God promote you. And you see, one of the things I learned when you start just getting busy doing what God called you to do and giving it 110% and just keep going after it, you know, when the Lord see your heart and see your faithfulness, if it's his will to promote you to something else, you know it, because it's going to be confirmed by a pastor, by a prophet, an apostle, and then God's going to equip you to do what he has called you to do, and it's going to be sweatless. Amen? All right, that'll do it for today.